Thank you, Miss Linda. Good job on the piano there. Philippians chapter number 2 is our text today, just before our special music. Brother Frank and Miss Jenny will be singing for us here in just a moment. Philippians chapter 2. If you're able to stand with me one more time, let's stand and we'll read beginning in verse 19. Please note what we're about to read. The Apostle Paul is making recommendation. He's making a recommendation that the church at Philippi accept Timothy as their next leader. But notice what he says in verse 19 concerning Timothy. He says, "But I trust, or and I hope in the Lord Jesus, to send Timotheus, or Timothy, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort." That is, be encouraged when I know your state or your condition. Verse 20, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally or genuinely care for your state," that is, your welfare. "For all seek their own," that is, their own interests, "not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of Him," that is, His hidden worth, "that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel," that is, in furthering the gospel. And then verse 23, "Him therefore I hope to send presently or immediately, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." Let us pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us today. Once again, we pray your blessings upon the remainder of this service. We thank you, Lord, for what we have been able to be a part of already, the good singing, hear good music. And Lord, now we pray your blessings upon the preaching of your word. As your servant, I need, Lord, guidance and direction in the preaching of the message you've given me today. And Lord, I pray, Father, that we'll have a heart that's open, ears that are attentive, God, to what you have for each and every one of us. We thank you for what you'll do in the invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please.
Thank you, Brother Frank, Miss Jeannie. Back to our text this morning, Philippians chapter number 2. We'll also in just a moment be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1. So if you want to make your way there, we'll be looking at that passage as well. But we've just read from Philippians chapter 2. And, of course, Paul is making reference, as we've just read, to young Timothy when he tells us in verse 20, there's no man like-minded. In other words, there's no one else of such a kindred spirit like young Timothy. He is saying that there is no one else that is really like him. What a wonderful statement you could say about someone, especially in a manner of recommending him to a group of people that Paul has labored over and prayed for, and that's the church at Philippi. But a sad part of that in verse 20 and 21, sadly, because really there were no one else also that was devoted like Timothy. Many of them were caught up, it says, in their own interest. Verse 21, "For all seek their own," and meaning their own interests. You know, but Timothy was one who was taught well, one who was doing what he knew to do, and that was to follow the Lord. And all throughout his life, he did so. And when Paul said, "There's no man like-minded," no one else with such a kindred spirit. He was well recommended. Now, this is quite a commendation, would you agree? I mean, something that we would all like to have said about us, or maybe even one of our own children. What in Timothy's character, though, that we see here, what is his character that would justify such a statement? That's why I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I think you find the answer there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5, if you'll look there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that is a clear conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. It's believed that, of course, in this particular book of the Bible, 2 Timothy, well, it is the last book that Paul had the part of writing. But it's also believed that Paul was getting close to death. And what Paul remembered, the last vision that he had of young Timothy, before Paul died, he noticed Timothy's tears, which represented humility and tenderness that Timothy had, but also a joy that Timothy expressed. And so when he says, greatly desiring one more time just to see thee, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. And then verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that is the sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Once again, it's believed that Paul may have had a part, as he mentions two important people in the lives of Timothy. One is his grandmother and the other is his mother. It's believed that Paul may have had even the opportunity to lead these two ladies to the Lord. And they meant something to Paul, but yet also realizing that these two ladies were important in the life of young Timothy. You know, I want to speak to you on the subject of faithful mothers today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, when I call to remembrance, Paul says, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. What we find here is Paul speaks of Timothy's faith, his unfeigned faith. Now, the word unfeigned, as I've already made reference, simply means it means honest or genuine or maybe even sincere faith. Paul relates Timothy's faith to the faith of his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, in this passage, as really we see three generations of faith. Now, most of us have precious treasures that we have received and from our mothers or our grandmothers, and these treasures may not be valuable in today's market, but they are priceless to us because they were handed down to us through the generations. You know, I was going through some things, and the other day, as we've been moving around different things, as you well know, and I came across, as I've kept every one of my mom's letters while I was in Bible college. She would send me letters or card. I could go back and look at these, and you know, they meant something back when I was in college, but boy, they really mean something now. And matter of fact, I pulled one out just the other day, and I was reading through it, and just to be able to read through it and know that my mom says, hey, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you. I still hear those words today even. You know, even although it may be in a letter, you know, I can sense her heartbeat for her child, and just those words alone and just the encouragement that she gave alone was something that motivated me even more in ministry. Obviously, I wouldn't be where I'm at today were it not for a mother that loved the Lord, a mother that encouraged me even when I was in college. My dad didn't want me to go, and this is not a bad reflection of my dad. My dad was a businessman and an entrepreneur, you might call. He just would start up a business and move on. And when I told my parents one day that I was going off to Bible college and I've surrendered ministry, my dad wanted me to go into business. That's just what he wanted me to do. I can understand that. That was what he knew and he appreciated. Ministry was not his thing because, you know, he didn't know much about ministry. But I remember my mom was a very important part of my life when it came to ministry, of encouraging me in ministry. Not that my dad was not. Later on, he caught on, hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But my mom immediately knew that, hey, that this is what God wanted me to do. And so she was a big encouragement in my life early on when it came to ministry. And I'm sure that all of us could say and reflect back upon maybe our mom in some ways that are priceless, things that we could come up with that are priceless. But let me say this. May I suggest that there's something more precious than those heirlooms that we come up with? You know, the thing that I thank God for, and I know my mom was a big influence in this, and my great-grandmother was a big influence of this, but that is our faith. That's the greatest heirloom. You know, mothers and grandmothers, this is your day, meaning that it's a day that we celebrate, a day that we honor, a day that we remember each of you. But here we have a mother, and many of you can relate to this, and we have a grandmother that's mentioned in Scripture here that had been placed within the pages of God's Word for all of us to remember. Why did God do this? And I believe God did this because they were careful to pass along their faith. And you know, that's what a faithful mother will do. Like in the life of Timothy, he could not have been the kind of young man that he was, young preacher, had it not been for a mother, our grandmother, that passed along their faith. And so this morning I want to challenge each of us to follow their example. Some of you, maybe your mom wasn't necessarily a spiritual role in your life. That's not to speak negative of her in no way. But yet she may have done some other things that obviously God used to draw you unto the Lord. I encourage you to pass along your faith to your children, to your grandchildren, even great-grandchildren. You know, it'll be the most important gift that you can give to them. Would you agree with that? Say amen. So this morning, give you three things that I want to encourage you, if you're taking notes, to pass along that to our children. Now, by the way, this message is obviously geared to encourage and honor our moms, but this is a message that all of us can appreciate and relate, and also I hope to implement in our own life. What are those three things that we see that was maybe passed along to Timothy that we can do in our own life as believers? First of all, we need to have a faith which is scriptural. Boy, it's so important today that we have a faith that is scriptural, meaning that like 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, if you want to flip over there, you can read when Paul talks about Timothy, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures," that is the sacred Scriptures, "which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." The Scriptures are able to give you the wisdom, Paul says about Timothy, that leads you to salvation. Would you agree? Listen, that's what Scripture does. Scripture draws us to the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. But thank God we have the Word of God to do so. And Timothy had been taught the Word of God at an early age, at childhood. And like many of our kids that come, and we see them running around sometimes, and we wonder, are they getting it? Well, they're getting it. They're just getting it at their age level. It may be 10 minutes of just being able to instruct them until they're wound up to go on and do something else. But listen, it's so important that we don't give up on the fact of whether they are receiving the Word of God or not. Timothy had been taught the Word of God. His mother and his grandmother, they were not afraid to instruct him in the ways of the Lord. In other words, they taught Timothy the Old Testament Scriptures, because obviously they did not have the whole complete Bible in their day. They had Old Testament Scriptures. But yet the Old Testament, much like today, has never changed. What does the Old Testament do? It points us to the coming Messiah. That's what Timothy was taught, that there is a Savior coming, Messiah, that's going to die on the cross. Now, obviously, we look back because we have the New Testament, the complete Word of God. Jesus and His coming is going to come to receive His children on, not to come to die and on the cross again. But Timothy was told and he was taught Jesus, the Messiah, is coming. He's going to die on the cross. And so, in other words, he was pointed to Christ, and by that he was revealed the need to receive God's word through the promises of Scripture. And Timothy responded at a young age when he heard the gospel. That's what children will do. Mom and daddy, you raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't be surprised at a very early age. Don't be surprised that they receive Christ as Savior. Some say, well, my child got saved at 5 years old. Well, if the parents are actively involved in church and they have them in church under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, that's not unusual for a child to understand the need to come to know Christ. Listen, sometimes it scares parents. I wonder if they've got it. A child, can know and understand, yes, even at an age like that. Now, sometimes it may take a few more years, but the importance is like Timothy's mom and grandmother, they had him under the teaching of the ways of the Lord. You know, occasionally I come across folks who fancy themselves to be real progressive in their thinking. And I'm sure you've run across people like that. They're eager to spout the latest child psychobabble that they have read, and be careful of that, or heard about in today's times. And that is, I've heard this, and I'm sure you have, that I have a child, but I want them to find their own way. You know, that sounds pretty good. And, you know, but if we allow our children to find their own way in life, then you can be assured the devil has a way for them to take. It's important that godly parents or parents raise their children up, as the Bible says, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, not just to let them find their way. I'm sure many of you had parents that just didn't send you off and let you find your way. Thank God many of us had parents that taught us the way rather than just send us out into the world and let the world teach us the way. Because you know what? What we find going on today, we're seeing played out in that mentality. This is one of the great tragedies in our society today, that our kids, listen, are not being led. Matter of fact, kids are leading in the home, and that's one of the tragedies we see, rather than parents leading. Now, that's another message in itself. But listen, let's lead our children spiritually. We're instructed that as parents that we have the God-given responsibility to rear our children in the ways of the Lord according to His Word. We're instructed to do that. In other words, whenever someone asks us, where do you get your advice from, child rearing? Best place to tell them, the Word of God. You know, now it's not going to appeal to a lot of people that we work around today, or people, family members even, but that's the Bible is the best book to use as a text guidebook for rearing children. But also, we find that not only was Timothy taught the Word of God, but Timothy's faith was a direct result of being taught the Word of God. Timothy's faith was a direct result. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You see, church and parents, education is, I'm sure you agree with this, education is important. I mean, we all can agree with that. We want our kids to be educated and have the right kind of education. We would say we want them to have the very best education. And I know their parents sometimes have gotten in debt trying to help their kids go to the best school and to get the best education. And kids do the same thing. And why would we do any less when it comes to teaching them the Word of God? You see, children need to be instructed in the Word of God. Spiritual illiteracy, sadly, is rampant in today's society. I mean, rather than encourage our kids to go into a good Bible-believing church and sit in Sunday school or church and hear the Word of God taught, we let them find their way one day. Listen, that's a sad state, because if we put more importance on secular teaching and the best college or whatever, and all that's well and good, but yet we don't put that kind of importance on the Word of God, then we have failed as parents. Listen, God's Word is clear concerning our responsibilities. Deuteronomy chapter 11, if you'll turn there with me real quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 11, in a couple of verses that I want you to look at with me, beginning in verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11. You know, Timothy did not only hear the Word of God taught, but thank God he saw God's Word lived out. He saw God's Word lived out in his mother, and he saw God's Word lived out in his grandmother. For daily, can you imagine, he was under the influence of Scriptures every day. He saw it not only taught, but he saw that, hey, his mother was a godly mother. He saw that his grandmother was godly. It was lived out in their actions, the things that they expressed. Sometimes that we find is missing today in our homes. Deuteronomy chapter 11 says, therefore, as parents, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them, he's speaking of the Word of God, for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, that part that is between the eyes, I guess that's the brain, right? Listen. And ye shall teach them your children. Speaking of them, how? When thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way. In their day, it was when you was walking along the road. It may be in our day when we're riding down the road in the car. I remember we used to play games in the car as a kid. With our kids, a lot of times we'd see car tags. And, and I was taught this by a professor in college, and we'd try to match up a letter on a car tag with a something, spiritual, like G for glory, and just simple ways to use as a game. So as they're walking down the road, teach them God's Word, he says. When thou liest down, when thou risest up. Now, folks, if I understand that scripture correctly, that's on a constant basis. Not just when it's convenient. I'll send my kids off to church and let the preacher teach them or the Sunday school teacher teach them. Listen, the greatest way to teach a child is through mom and dad taking the time, the initiative. And it takes time. Verse 20 says, you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The Word of God is an important part of our life. It should be. And yet sometimes the Word of God is taken a back seat to teaching our children the right ways of life. All the best education we could receive in life is Scripture teaching us how we are to live this life. We're exposed to so many things today. Our kids are exposed to so many things today. The Bible teaches right and wrong. And so sometimes there are things, laws that are passed in our land that we don't agree with that go totally against God's Word. Well, we want to teach our kids what's right, just go to God's Word. There's no question. God's clear on things. This great land was built around God's Word. And sadly, we've chosen to get away from that. Along with the homes. The second most important gift that we can give our children, secondly, is a faith that is real. Not only a faith which is scriptural, but a faith which is real. Remember, Paul described Timothy's faith as being unfeigned. Remember that back over in 2 Timothy chapter 1? That means it was a real faith and not phony. And sometimes we see that sometimes we put on a facade and sometimes it's not real. Timothy had seen this real faith. In other words, he knew that when somebody stood before him, whether their faith was real or genuine, he was able to decipher a phony from someone who is genuine, because we live in a day and time where there's a lot of phonies out there. They come across our television screens. They sometimes come knocking in our doors. And sometimes the devil will come to our children as angels of light. Our children need to be able to identify what a phony is. Our children need to be able to identify the devil that's dressed in sheep's clothing. And the only way they're going to know that is through what they've been taught. And that is a faith which is real. And that's what's happening to some of our innocent kids today. They're being captured by drugs and alcohol and gambling and all these things that just because the world says it's okay doesn't make it okay. Listen, Timothy had seen what real faith is all about, how through his mother and his grandmother. It was demonstrated by how they lived, not just by what they said. It's important as parents that we not only speak it, it's easy to preach it sometimes, but listen, we need to live it, right? Because there's one thing I've realized. Kids can identify a phony. It was demonstrated by how they lived. Timothy's mother and grandmother, they lived a faith that was unfeigned, that was sincere. James chapter 2 and verse 18 says, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." You see, God uses James to point out that real faith is always manifested by what we do. Sometimes we can verbalize, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I loved you." And we may sing that to our kids, but you know what? Our kids are thinking, "Well, I know. I know you say you love Jesus." Now, they don't verbalize it, and they may not express it the way I'm expressing it. But kids know where mom and dad love Jesus or not. It's not just on Sunday. But listen, they know whether you love Jesus Monday through Sunday. Listen, every day of the week, in other words, faith is communicated by practical demonstration. You see, the greatest demonstration of our faith is to live honestly before our family. And that takes work, doesn't it, as parents? I mean, all of us have raised kids, and we've raised four kids, and you know, now we've got grandkids, and I could pause there and brag for a little bit. But listen, that responsibility continues on. Just because we've raised kids and we think, boy, we've got our nest empty. Well, here comes along the grandkids. Now we have to continue to be responsible. Not that we're just doing it just to do it, but we realize, man, there are times where, you know, the old flesh comes out. You got to go in the other room and just pull your hair out. You know, don't let them see all that. You know, but sometimes you see it just if you're going to be a parent or grandparent, it's not just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. And you know what? I wouldn't go back and change a thing. But I know I've messed up. Let's be honest. We've all messed up, haven't we? We haven't all been that example that we need to be. Now, as I've grown older, I look back and, man, I think, man, if I could go back and redo a few things as a parent, I would. But I'm not able to undo those things. Hopefully my kids will see that, yeah, Dad wasn't perfect. Mom wasn't perfect. But hopefully there's been enough foundation laid to realize that, hey, you know, I've told my kids this before many times. They've heard it. Listen, chunk that which is that I've done that is been not of God and wrong, and that which I've tried to do of God and right, hopefully you can implement in that in your life. Because we're imperfect, and they know that. But we need to demonstrate by practical demonstration. Live honestly. As I said earlier, children have an amazing ability to see through a facade, which is what is real and what is not. Timothy had excellent examples of genuine faithfulness. Would you agree with that? In both his mother and his grandmother. Timothy said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you want to look there in chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15. Notice what Timothy said. We've read one, I think, earlier. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured," that is, convinced of, "knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And notice verse 15, "and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures," the sacred Scriptures, "which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Oh, Timothy had excellent examples of genuine faithfulness. May God help us to be that. Then the third gift, that we often have seen a faithful mother that we ought to all portray, and that is a faith which is memorable. A faith which is memorable. I've already told you a few things about my mom, and I'm sure you've got stories you could tell. The memories, thank God for the memories. You know, as I've said, there's some things I don't want my kids to remember me by, but those things that I've tried to do right and those are memories I hope that they can pass along and have. A faith which is memorable is an important gift to have. That's the lasting influence of faith. When all else has been long forgotten, what is remembered is faith. You see, as parents, as grandparents, what is remembered is faith. If you think back, all of us, especially if you were raised up and you had a godly mother or godly grandmother, what do you remember them by? I remember my great-grandmother walking in on her a few times early in the morning as a child, walking in, seeing her by her bed on her knees praying. That sticks in my mind. There are a lot I remember by, but that's one thing that will never go away because that made such an impression upon me. I believe Timothy had that kind of influence. And you know, if you go back and you study the Hebrews, we call them the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, these were not perfect people. In Hebrews chapter 11, we would call them great Hebrews heroes of the Old Testament. But yet, they had some faults about their life. You go back and you can study in the Scripture and you can see that they had some issues in their life, some problems, but yet God would put them in that category of people that we can remember as having great faith. Great faith. Oh, listen, it is not so much the accomplishments that are emphasized. And sometimes people work to accomplish so much in this life and want to be remembered by their accomplishments at the things in their life. But you know what? There's one thing that we'll not be able to carry with us, and that's our accomplishments. You know, the bank account, listen, that's not going to matter. All the things that we've done on this earth that are going to burn up. Listen, but there's one thing that won't burn up, and that's our testimony. That's our faith that will carry on. Listen, that's important. A faith that is memorable. It is not so much the quantity of faith, but the quality of faith. Not so much of how many times that my mom went to church or how many times she read the Bible, whatever. Listen, it's the quality. You know, what I was taught and what I learned through the actions. Oh, listen, that's what's important. Jesus said, without faith, as a grain of mustard seed, you see, that's the kind of faith that we have. You know, I've learned that trees can be uprooted, mountains can be removed, but faith is something that will always be there. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. There have been many. I remember Jeremiah Denton. He was a senator here in Alabama, I believe it was. Jeremiah Denton was, what war was that he was served in? Vietnam. Jeremiah Denton was captured in Vietnam and he served in a concentration camp. He was tortured. I've heard his testimony personally. He was tortured in a concentration camp. And Jeremiah Denton, I think he was in that for several years. Was it 5, 6 years? And there was one time he was placed, I heard him say, he was in like a little box. And they were trying to break his mind down to try to basically make him go crazy. But one thing that kept Jeremiah Denton sane that he had said was his faith. He had the Scripture hidden in his heart. Now, he didn't have the Bible to read in that box, but he had memorized Scripture. And through the tough times, and through the beatings, and through the loneliness, and never thinking he'd ever be rescued, What helped him through those lonely periods of time was just recalling Scripture that he had been taught, that he had memorized. It was his faith. Oh, listen. God forbid that any of our children ever be put through that. But I dare say what will sustain us in difficult times, and often has, in the late times, late period of times at night, sometimes when our kids are off and we don't know where they're at and what's going on, I'm sure many mothers can say, well, God just gave you that Scripture to hold on to. Or God gave you that faith to hold on to. Listen, a faith which is memorable is so important. What will our children and grandchildren remember about us? Will they remember our faith in the Word of God and the God of the Word? Will they remember that our faith was genuine? Will they remember our faith and our faithfulness? You see, if we could get to the end of our life and that is truly something that could be said about us, then that's all worth it, isn't it? It's not about how many accomplishments that this person has made. I've been to funeral services where people have read off all the accomplishments of this person, but nothing said about God. And you know, nothing wrong with accomplishments, but yet the biggest testimony, the greatest word that could be said, what a strong faith. They passed it along. They lived it. It was genuine. May God help us to be there. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed, your eyes closed?